Okay, so part three today really of a series that we've been talking about moving towards the future that God intends for us and taking that individually and as a church, moving towards the future that God intends. And there's been kind of two central thoughts to that. If you want to catch up on that, that will be on the website, but there's been two central thoughts to that. The basis of it began with the whole story of Israel crossing over in Joshua chapter 3 into the promised land, which represented a better future that God intended for them, that God wanted for them. And so the two kind of central thoughts that have been running through the kind of three talks, or let's say today being the third, was that first of all, without doubt, God has more in his heart for us. And God wants more for us than where we are at right now. Individually and as a church, there is more. The second thing being this, that there are often issues and obstacles that stand between us and what God wants for us. Okay, we can all have what I will call today barrier issues in our lives. And in this series, we're exploring what some of those barrier issues can be. A definition of a barrier is simply this, there we go. It's anything that restrains or obstructs passage, progress, or access. Anything that separates or hinders, an obstruction, an obstacle, a hindrance, or an impediment. The reality is that, just being very real and with one another, that we can all have things in our lives that have that effect. We can all have issues. They might be different. We can all have barrier things in our life that seem to restrain or obstruct our passage. They seem to hold us back from making progress or access. It's like we want to move forward, but we can't quite be free of this thing because there's this barrier that needs to be overcome. It seems to separate or hinder us. It's always there. It's an obstruction, an obstacle, a hindrance, or an impediment. And so we've been talking about how in our lives that the issues and struggles that can have that effect on our life, we need to confront those things because they keep us back from moving forward into all that God intends and all that God wants. And I can't emphasize that enough to us this morning, that as I talk about a better place, as I talk about the plans that God has for us, as I talk about moving towards that, I believe with all my heart that that is the future God wants for us. He wants us to make progress. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to know more than we know right now, individually and as a church. And so that quote that's featured in every message so far, and in Wendy's one as well, which just flowed in nicely, is that you cannot conquer what you will not confront. Okay, so there are some things in our lives that we have to face and say, actually, this is a barrier. This is an obstacle. This is something that I need to confront to see victory, to move forward into what God has in his heart for me. And so we're exploring some of those barriers. Last time we talked about, just towards the end, we just began to explore about the fact that we have to make sure that our vertical, our God relationship, and our horizontal, our relationships with one another, are right. Because they can become barriers, issues in either of those areas between my vertical relationship with God or my horizontal relationship with you, can become a barrier in my life. It can hinder me from moving forward into all that God has in his heart. They can be things that hold me back. I believe that, I don't want to just sort of like stand here and shout this, but friends, I believe with all my heart, with all sincerity, that God is saying to us, it's time to move on. It's time to move forward. And that's what we're talking about. What are some of those things in our life where God's just saying, hey, it's time to move on now. It's time to be free of that. It's time to overcome that. It's time to face that and say, do you know what? This thing is not going to hold me back any longer. It's time for us as a church to say, I don't want to camp the wrong side of what God wants for me. I don't want it always to be there within reach or at distance. I want to move into that. And at some point, if you like, we have to say, do you know what? Enough is enough. I believe that victory is possible in Jesus' name. And it's time to move on and it's time to move forward towards the future that God intends for us. There's so much that God wants to do in our lives. You just pick up the Bible and it just tells you how much God wants to do in your life. In Matthew 18, verse 18 to 19, Jesus was speaking. He said this, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. This is what God wants for us. This is what God intends for us, okay? In verse 19 there in the Amplified Version says this, again, I say to you, that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. How many people know there are two verses packed with power and potential? There are so much power and so much potential in those two verses. This is what the Father wants. This is what the Father intends for us. This is what is possible, that we can see things bound, we can see things loose, we can pray in such a way that literally anything that we ask that's in the will of God will happen in our life. Anyone else like me want to get to that kind of place? And God says, hey, this is what I intend. This is what I want for you. Now, those two verses are awesome verses. They're exciting verses. And that's why they're well-known verses. You hear those two verses taken and you'll hear them preached on their own. You'll hear them quoted on their own. You'll hear them sung on their own. You'll hear them prayed on their own. But what I want us to see this morning is something really interesting, is that actually when we insert those two verses, which are often we just take out of context, when we put them back in the context of what Jesus was talking about when he quoted that stuff, it suddenly begins to throw or shed a different light on how you get to that place, or what can hold you back from getting to that place. Because Jesus actually spent time talking about a barrier in our life that can block us from accessing this promise. There can be barrier issues in our life that stop us accessing this promise. You see, verse 15, a section in your Bible, begins with these words that lead into the ones that we've just spoken just now. And we begin to see that Jesus was talking, he made that promise in the context of something very interesting. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. See, before that promise, Jesus was talking about the need to make sure our horizontal relationships are right. There's a need. It can become a barrier to accessing this if our horizontal, just testing you, thank you. He says, this is what you do if you have an issue with a brother or a sister in church. Okay, come on then. Who's ever had an issue with a brother or sister in church? No, never. Never been offended. Never been hurt. Never been a bit upset or grieved or none of that. Just shine up that halo. It's inevitable. It's in here. It has been in church since it all began, really. At some point, you think he's cheering me up today, but at some point, someone in church will offend you, upset you, or hurt you. But Jesus said, the important thing is to handle it rightly. I feel very strongly on my heart, this message has been coming for some time, that God wants to say that we must handle those moments rightly, or they become a barrier to moving towards the future that God intends for you. You see, God's order is you first go to that brother, then you go to two or three if they don't listen, then you go and you tell the church. But how many people know what we often do is we jump to the two or three, or we jump to tell everyone in the church, And then finally, someone says, you ought to go to your brother. And the order goes out of sync. But this is what Jesus says. So he's talking about right relationship. Then he makes this promise, this awesome promise. Then what does he talk about? Verse 21. This is all in the flow. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? So we've not gone off on one. We're still in the flow of what's going on. It's not like he's gone, Peter, what are you going on about? It's all in the flow of what Jesus is talking about. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him, as many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, I'll pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Just say, released him. Released him. Just remember that, underline that, circle that. That's so important. He released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a lot less. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that this had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father, oh ouch, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. As Matt Richards says, if you can't say amen, say ouch. Challenge him. Derek Prince says this. We see from the placement of these verses, that's the two, the promise that we read earlier, that the secret place of power is ringed about. The promise of power is encircled and guarded by a fence. And you cannot get in unless you meet the conditions. And the fence is right relationship. Access into that requires us to have right relationships. In our lives, unforgiveness, offense, grievance, bitterness, hurt, pain, resentment can become barriers to blessing. They can become barriers to blessing. If I'm reading my Bible rightly in the context and flow of what Jesus was saying, they can actually hinder the release of things in my life that God wants to release. Things that God wants to do. Ways in which he wants to bless me and answer my prayers. And God, being the master in this parable, offers us, as the picture of the servants, the most incredible level of forgiveness. The servant owes a debt he could never pay. He could never pay that debt. That debt represents the sin in his life. He owed way too much. He could never buy himself out of the problem. It was a sin, it was a debt, it was sin, it was debt that was too great. The New Living Translation says it was like millions of dollars. Yet the master, when he asked him to have compassion upon him, when he pleaded with him, the master didn't just work out an easy payment plan for him. The master released him from the debt that he owed. He never said, you're going to spend your lifetime paying that back. He said, I'm releasing you from everything that you owe. It's this most incredible act of forgiveness. It's a picture of what the Father has done for us. That word release means to set free. It means to let go. It means to set at liberty and to be acquitted. Wow. Do you know when you came to Jesus and said, Lord, I want you in my life. Will you forgive me of all my sins? He never worked out an easy payment plan for the rest of your life. He set you free. He let you go. He set you at liberty. He acquitted you. It's a word which means to release a debtor, to not press one's claim against. Did you deserve it? No. But this is what Jesus has done for us. Yet this other guy walks out in the good of the forgiveness extended to him, bumps into somebody else who owes him what the New Living Translation says is $1,000, a few thousand. So we've got the original guy owns millions, but someone owes him thousands. There's no comparison, but he holds on to that offense. He holds on to that grievance. He holds on to that resentment. And it says there, he seizes him. He begins to choke him. He holds on to him. And then he puts him in prison until he should pay the debt. He held this stuff so tightly in his heart against this guy, he refused to let him go. And he wanted him to spend the rest of his days paying for what he had done to him. See, the big question is, what do we do when someone hurts us? What do we do when someone grieves us? What do we do when someone offends us? What do we go through something painful in our life and we're a victim of that? My plea this morning is that those things in our life would not become a barrier to the blessing that God wants to pour out upon you. They can become a barrier. See, the big thing is that they become a barrier when we hold on to them. That's what I want you to take away today. It's when we hold on to them. He seized him. He choked him. Then he put him in prison. He held on to that issue and didn't want to let it go. He had been hurt, and the person who had done that, who grieved him, would pay. Yet even though he could have treated him that same way, he chose to release him. Aren't you glad this morning, friends? Please say amen if you're glad to this, that the Father didn't say, I'm holding on to your sins. I'm holding on to the way that you've grieved me and offended me, and you'll pay for that for the rest of your life. Aren't you glad this morning that the Father released you from all of that and set you free? There's no sin too big. There's no debt too great. He's a God who releases us. Even if it runs into tantamount to millions of dollars, he releases us from that and sets us free. And Jesus says something else. He says, this is wicked. You're being a wicked servant in this moment. You think, oh my life, that is so to the point. Are you saying that if I'm holding on stuff in my life, are you saying that Jesus, I am wicked as a person? My character is wicked. Some versions say evil. It's important you understand that's not what he's saying. That word there is a different word. That word in the Greek means hurtful. So the idea is that the unforgiveness, the offense, it has an evil or hurtful effect or influence. Thayer says it causes pain and trouble, annoyance and hardship. It presses and harasses. So if I hold on to those things in my life, unforgiveness, grievance, bitterness, offense, it's harmful. So in the first instance, we see him do what? He holds on to it, and so he lashes out, and it causes others in and around his life to feel the effect of him carrying that. That can happen. You know, there's a saying, isn't there, that hurt people hurt people. And so he lashes out. Enough said. It affects his relationship with his others. With others, you know, the other servants, his fellow people, they see that and they can't believe that, and it affects their relationship with him. And it can do that. It can affect our relationship. It can become a barrier in our present relationships because we're holding on to stuff. But the big, 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 big lesson of this story is simply this. That it is most harmful to the one who holds on to it. It will cause some harm and upset with others in your life, but it is most harmful to the one who holds on to it. See, in verse 34, the master then, seeing it, says he delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Now, That word there in some Bibles, you might have a little number, actually means tormentors. Now, this is not sounding overly pleasant, is it? But if I hold on to that, just run with me if you're here, if I can. If I hold on to that, it becomes something in my life that torments me. It torments me. Holding on to those issues in my life, it will torment me. And friends, there are Christians, there are people in church who are in spiritual, mental, emotional, physical torment because of that stuff. Because of stuff that's happened in the past. Praise God, we're going to talk about getting free from that this morning. But we're just acknowledging that. I know at times in my life now, there have been two occasions when I've held on to that stuff. And let me tell you, on one of those occasions, it took me as near to the edge as I've ever been. In terms of feeling like I was going to break down because of stuff that was going on in my life, because I held on to it and it tormented me. There's no peace. How many people know if you're in a torture chamber? There's no peace. There's no joy. There's fear. You might get temporary moments of relief, but never freedom. Your mind can feel troubled by it. There can be no rest. And it can make you incredibly anxious about your future. And all the time, you know that really what he wanted was to hurt the other person, but the person who he was really hurting was himself. That's what happens in forgiveness. I want them to pay for what they've done to me, but actually the person it's hurting the most holding on to that offense is ourself. It puts his whole life on hold. He can't get on with his life. It's like he's in a prison. He's in a prison. So it's affecting his future. Does this sound familiar to anyone this morning? Do you feel like you're living with something from the past in your life that's an issue that holds you back? And it's like, I'm moving on, but I can't really actually move on. Life's happening, but I'm not really moving on from this thing. How do we know that if we're struggling with that? The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, do you talk about it a lot? Does it come up a lot? Is it on your mind a lot? You know, oh, Joe, come on, let's be honest. I had one person who said some really spiteful things about me over a long period in time. And every now and then I still hear this stuff, okay? And what I found myself doing, angling conversations with others just to find out if they were still speaking it. Holding on to it. Holding on to it, not wanting to let go in my life. It so troubled me. But friends, I just want you to understand this. This is what I believe God said to me as I was preparing this. You can't lay a hold of the future if you won't let go of the past. You can't lay a hold of the future if you won't let go of the past. The Apostle Paul, this scripture came to me so strongly this week, Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14. Read it with me, would you, this morning? One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal. Paul says, I've got to forget what's behind. It's time to move on. It's time to move forward. That whole imagery there is like a runner who pumps at that point when they dip for the finish line. I'm straining. That's what the image is. I'm dipping for the line. I'm with everything within me. I'm pushing forward. I'm not looking back. When you try and move forward, but you are looking back, it is problematic. A couple of Saturdays ago, we were at Partrum, and some of the people who Jake normally with, who are sort of responsible and look after, and they weren't there on this particular day. And so I said to Jake, do you want to run Parkrun with me? And he was like, no. So I was like, okay, it was a hot day. I thought, I'm not going to force him to run Parkrun. So he says to me this, he says, it's all right, Dad, I'm seven, I'm responsible, you can leave me. And said, yeah, it's not really going to work like that, son, you know. So I said to Claire, no, you do the run, and I'll run home afterwards, and I'll stand on the sideline and watch him. And I wanted to set my timer going because Claire and the girls were doing it, and several good friends were running it, and I like to kind of clock the time and watch how they're getting on. And so, but I glanced down, I was talking to Jake. I suddenly looked up, and I saw him steaming down, like, just started. I thought, oh, no, I'm off. So I quickly set my watch running, and I was slightly delayed, so I didn't really know exactly what time they were running to. And so they done a lap, and then I knew that Claire was wearing a watch, and I thought, I'll get Claire, as she comes by, to tell me what the time is on her watch, and then I'll know if I'm 20 seconds out. I just got to add 20 seconds on. Genius. Okay. And so Claire comes around, and she was with Beth that day, helping Beth just to kind of push the pace a little bit. And as she comes around, I shout out something from her, from the sideline, about what time does your watch say? And she's like, whoa, like, because there's all these other people running. She didn't say it quite like that, but that's my, you know. And so she's like, what? And then she's looking back at me, trying to engage me in conversation whilst running forward, and all of a sudden turns around to be greeted by a lamppost. Boom. Right? The Lord's forgiven me, okay? Friends, isn't that so much like life? We're trying to run forward, but we're looking back, and what happens is we keep smacking into stuff. You can't move forward if you're looking back. It's like the story of the two boys in the snow when it dumped a big dump of snow and there was a tree in the distance, and they said, who can walk the straightest line to the tree? And they both said, well, I can do it. And the other said, no, I can do it. And the first one set off. He took a couple of steps. He looked back to see where his footprints were. They going in a nice straight line. He took a couple more. He looked back. Were they going in a nice straight line? Eventually, he reached the tee. The second boy set off. He just fixed his eyes on the tree and walked straight towards it. Who had the straightest set of footprints in the snow? The one who fixed his eyes on moving forward. The one who was looking back was detouring. The one who was looking forward was moving on. See, I want to make a little, if I don't get through this today, so be it. But I just want to illustrate something to you this morning. I said to Pete, my brother-in-law, do you have a bit of rope that I can borrow that will stretch about half the width of the hall? He kindly furnished me with a piece that will probably go round the hall several times here, and including instructions of how to undo it, because I am really thick, to be honest with you, when it comes to anything like this. And even now, I'm not sure if I've got this right. But okay, let's find an end here. Martin, can you come help me, mate? Yeah. Just take one end of the rope and just stand with it there. Where's the other end? It's going to be in here somewhere. There we go. All right. We are going to end up good. Hooray! I did it. Progress. Right. I would like you just to go in your world, in your imagination right now. You're going to have to be very creative. But you're going to imagine that Martin is the sort of bloke who might offend you or grieve you or upset you, okay, just for a moment. I know it's a bit out there, but we're going to pretend today for the moment that Martin he's offended me. Martin, can you just perhaps hold it a bit tighter here? Martin's offended me. He's grieved me. He says something to me. I didn't like what he said. He's hurt my feelings. He's done something bad. I'm not making it trivial or try it this morning. Let's just imagine for a moment that he's done something. What I want you to see is this. When I hold on to this, I'm tied to that offense. I'm tied to what that person has said or done when I hold on to it and I won't let it go. And over there, God is calling me. And God has a future for me. And God has plans and purposes for my life that are over there. And God is standing over there saying, come over here, son. I've got so much more for you. So much more for you. And I was saying in my heart, I want to move towards what God has got for me. Can you hold it tight, buddy? But I'm tied to this thing in my past that I won't let go of, that I can't now move forward into what God has got for me. So all the time, I'm looking back when God is saying, look forward. And friends, let me tell you what needs to happen by the grace of Jesus Christ is the tie needs to be cut. So it enables me to disconnect from that thing in my life and in my past and move towards a better and brighter place that God intends for me. Praise God. Yeah, give him glory. Thanks, Martin. We need to be freed from looking back to looking forward. One version of that scripture in Philippians 3 says, I forget all of the past. I forget all of the past. It says there. I forget all of my past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Em, just be God for me. Hey. So instead of looking back and being fastened to that, I'm saying in my life, do you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm not looking back. I'm fastening myself to the future. I'm fastening myself to God, and he is pulling me to the future he has in his heart for me. And this is where I want to be. I fasten, thanks him. You see, this is what forgiveness really does. It releases us from the past and into the future God intends. The master models it. He releases it. Imagine the joy, the freedom he felt of being freed from millions of pounds worth of debt. Forgiveness is ultimately, if you remember nothing else this morning, just remember it. Forgiveness is a freedom thing. It's a freedom thing. We'll talk about it in a moment because I know some of you have been through some rough stuff. So how on earth can I forgive that? What does that even look like? Okay, but it is ultimately a freedom thing. It's when I forgive others, I welcome freedom into my life. I disconnect myself from that and I welcome freedom into my life. But when I hold on to it, I imprison myself. When I done the Lord's Prayer series on Sunday nights, I talked about a great illustration I heard about monkey traps. And it wasn't mine. It was how unforgiveness, offense, pain, resentment, etc. is like a monkey trap. A monkey trap is a basket tethered to a tree, and there's a narrow opening at the front of it, just big enough for the monkey to put his arm through. And so you put a piece of fruit inside that basket. The monkey can just reach in his hand. They can find that piece of fruit and they can grab hold of it. And before you know it, when they go to bring their hand back out of the narrow opening, guess what happens? They can't get free. But do you know they could get free? And do you know how that monkey could get free? It's got to let it go. But it thinks the right thing to do is to hold on to it. But the longer it holds on to it, the more distressed, the more troubled, the more anxious, the more angry, the more resentful, the more bitter it's going to be, and yet within its hands is the possibility to go free if it would just release that thing. We hold on to stuff in our life because we think it's the best thing to do. I understand that. But the longer I hold on to it, the more distressed, bitter, angry, resentful, unhappy I find myself. But freedom is there when I let go. It just seemed to produce so much turmoil in this guy's life. And really, it was like he was the architect of that. Because within his hands was the possibility to go free. So we need to disconnect from that that's harmful to us. Oh, it's a day of illustrations. Imagine this is your heart. This is not my illustration. I saw this illustration by a chap from Bethel. He said, this is your heart, okay? And he says, this is what happens when you hold on to like pain, hurt, unforgiveness, resentment. You hold on to it and your heart gets bigger and it kind of feels a bit fuller over that thing. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go to the Father and release that stuff. And he says it sounds a lot like that when you do. You go and release it, and your heart comes back to that place. But he says often what we do is someone says something, they hurt us, whatever. I hold on to it. Then one day, Amanda says something to me. That hurt. I think you know what's going to come. I come along one day and Wendy says something. I think she does something. It grieves me. Our hearts get fuller. Our hearts get bigger. And do you know what's going to happen at some point? That is going to explode all over the place. And it's going to explode over others. It's going to explode over our life. And really what God intended was every time that was happening, for me just to come to him and say, Lord, help me to let that go. Friends, it just explodes at times in our lives, in moments. We've got to let it go. You feel it. When you hold on to it, I've been to the edge in my life for this stuff. Honestly, I'm not being dramatic because I'm standing in a pulpit. Honestly, I felt ill in my life with this stuff when I was holding on to things. Physically unwell. I've seen people get healed when they've forgiven people. I'm not saying that's always a result, but I know it happens. Spiritually, you feel it building. It can take you to the edge. But when I released it, man, the difference was unbelievable. This week at Faith Camp, God just spoke to me about that person who I said to you earlier on, said, you've never forgiven them. So I just had to stand and say, God, I want to let that go in my life. And straight away, I met with God. You see, as I come to a close, every time I've ever released something, ever let it go, barriers of blessing come down and new and fresh things of God flow. They're released into my life. Because the Bible says that if I hold on to that stuff, it affects my prayer life. When they said to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. What did he say? Forgive us our sins. He taught us to pray. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. When they said, teach us, Lord Jesus, teach us how to connect with the Father. He said, here's a daily prayer. Here's a daily prayer for you to pray, connect with God. Every day you need to do this in your life. Let it go. Release stuff. Otherwise, it damages our prayer connection with God. It forms a barrier. It can inhibit me receiving my own forgiveness. Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15. Should be there, Jonathan. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to give others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiven people forgive people. It can affect my faith life. Mark 11, we love these verses in Mark 11. We quote these, preach these, pray these. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Amen. We pray it, we preach it. But what does Jesus say? Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, it will be yours. Yes, amen. And then what? And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Can you see again? It's in the flow. It's in the flow of our prayers being answered, our own forgiveness, our faith life. And you know, it seems like at the end, he said, how did he put him in that place where he allowed it to torment him like that until this issue was dealt with? People think, is Jesus going to punish me? I think in the long run, friends, it's an act of mercy and kindness, because it can ruin your life if you don't learn to let this stuff go. He'll do anything and everything to bring us to the place where we are able to let it go. Because why? He does not want it to rob us of the future he intends for us. So let's wrap this all up. Sometimes we talk about this stuff, we make it sound so easy. And some of you have been really hurt. And I get that. In fact, C.S. Lewis said this. He says, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have someone to forgive. Some of you have been through painful stuff, hard stuff. This isn't easy. Let me say this, you've heard it said before. Forgiveness is not you saying what they did was okay. Forgiveness is not you saying what they did was okay. A quote I read was said this, forgiveness does not mean approving of what the other person did, nor excusing it, nor denying it, nor pretending that you are not hurt. You are aware of what they did, yet you lay aside, you let go, of all malice, revenge, and retribution. It's simply choosing to let go. You leave it in God's hands. God will deal with that. There will be a moment, there will be a, where God will take, he'll deal with that. He'll either convict them of it here and now, or they'll certainly have to deal with it there. But you just, you let go of all that. Somebody who I actually know was hurt, honestly, right? So badly, and these words came out of my lips by someone in their life who they loved. I won't do the story because it's not anyone here, but someone who I know. They were hurt so badly by someone so close to them, done such a horrible thing to them, and yet they stayed in relationship with this person, and these words came out of my lips. I don't know how you can do that. That was the words that came. How is that even possible when you've been hurt that badly? And the words that came back were these. How can I not forgive knowing how much Jesus has forgiven me? I said, wow. Wow. And that is the essence of this parable, that we're meant to walk in such an awareness of all that we've been forgiven and how much we've been forgiven, the millions of dollars of sin and debt in our life. And that when people do stuff to us, it's incomparable compared to the debt that God has wiped clean in our life. Yet this guy seems to walk out and feel so little what he's been forgiven that he won't let go of things in his life when others have hurt him. And he holds on to it. And that is ultimately what done him so much harm, was holding on to it. One version says he stubbornly refused. See, the master had a decision to make. The choice was his. He released and let go. The servant had a decision to make. The choice was his. He chose to hold on to it and not let go. So as I finish this morning, the choice is yours. The choice is mine. Em, could you just perhaps come back? I have decided to follow Jesus. Just came to me this morning in that first service. Perhaps we could just play that. Talks about following Jesus, no turning back. Talks about the cross before me and the world behind me. So the choice was the master's, the choice was the servant's. This morning, the choice is yours. The choice is mine. I can choose to allow unforgiveness, offense, resentment, bitterness to damage, affect, taint, even ruin my life. Or I can decide by an act of my will to forgive and be set free. Meaning this, to decide from this day on, I'm not going to let that thing spoil my life and taint my life and my future any longer. I'm not going to let that thing hold me back. I hear the call that it is time to move on. It's not this morning about feeling like you can forgive. It's deciding to forgive. It isn't about feelings. It's about the will. I respect Derek Prince and what he says so much. And he said this. He's so much better at putting things than I am. He says, forgiveness is an act of the will and an utterance of the lips. It's an act of the will. It's an utterance of the lips. You decide it, you say it, and that's it. Name that person, he says. Lord, I forgive whoever it might be. Lord, I forgive my husband. Lord, I forgive my son-in-law. Lord, I forgive that person, that name, that ex, whoever it might be, wherever you are in life this morning. Be specific, he says. Lord, I forgive that person as I want you to forgive me. Lord, I forgive them. You say it and it's done. The future God intends, this is my words, for anyone who's been hurt, offended, grieved, is joy, this is the future he intends, is joy, peace, fulfillment, freedom, and blessing. But to walk into the future, you have to let go of the past. You have to let go of that which is holding you back.